Podcasting 2.0 for May 19th, 2023, episode 133. It's a lifestyle. Oh, yeah. It's Friday once again. Time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, the only lit boardroom that's got a beat. Give me a beat. That's right, everything happening at podcastindex.org, all about the namespace, sexy, hot namespace talk, and of course, everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, everybody knows his database is way bigger than yours. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones!
Perfect timing. Just swallowed that sandwich. I'm clean. I'm ready to go.
All right, welcome, Dave. Welcome. You know, it's okay to eat during the board meeting, you know, as long as you don't smack too much, it's okay.
It better be, because I got an ice cream sandwich coming.
What are you eating? What is on Dave's menu today? Let me just preface this. Dave, of course, takes off time from his day job to do the board meeting. He normally only has an hour, but I guess he doesn't eat on Thursdays so that he can take 2 hours on Fridays. Isn't that true?
Yes. Today's menu was a turkey sandwich and an ice cream sandwich, which I'm now about to partake in.
Oh, very nice.
But the horrible thing that just happened before the show is I came home.
Uh-oh.
And so we got new chickens.
Is this a past tense thing now?
No. We still have
a couple of chickens.
We have our full allotment of chickens still. This was not a circumstance where the chickens were destroyed or mutilated by something.
By a dog.
Which chickens love to do. They love to get themselves killed. I mean,
it's pretty much what they do. They lay eggs and get killed.
They like laying eggs. They like scratching in the dirt, and they like getting themselves destroyed in horrible ways. I mean, not like they don't just die of natural causes.
No, there's always like feathers and blood and guts smeared out over the ground. That's kind of the end of every chicken. Yeah.
If there's no trauma, it didn't happen. So this is like, so I come home, but we have new chickens, the little, you know, peeps. Chicks.
Aw,
peep. So we have six of them. And Melissa was worried about it storming outside today. So she brought them in and put them in a tub, Rubbermaid tub, in the podcast room, because that would keep the dog and the cat away from them. So I come in, and of course, what has happened is they have gotten out of the tub
and
they've been
everywhere.
Running around. Yes. They've been running around in the, yes.
Are these
yes,
still yes, of yes. the yellow, little yellow variety, little chickadees?
Oh, yeah, they're little puffballs.
So how come I don't hear them in the background?
Yeah, but there's chicken crap everywhere, all over the floor.
Well, but don't little chicks make small chicken poops?
Yeah, but there's 100 little piles of it. I mean, I was just furiously cleaning the floor. It smells horrible in here. I was furiously cleaning the floor at like, you know, 12:25.
You know, it's
and
okay.
I'm like, oh my God, we got 5 minutes.
It's okay to podcast from chicken poop. It's okay. We could have done it after the show.
It smells like shit in here.
Yeah, no, I'll bet it does.
Which, I mean, like, I read a thing, so, which is this a perfect segue, though, because I was reading this morning, the incredible investigative journalism from Vox.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. Yes. The Vox Media Network, home of Kara Swisher and the award-winning tech podcast Pivot.
Yes. They have brought us an in-depth investigative report about that free-range chickens. Free-range doesn't really mean free-range.
No kidding.
Which is, I'm stunned by this revelation.
And organic doesn't mean healthy or good for you. Really, this is fascinating. Yeah.
This is, let me just read a little bit of this. It says, the investigator documented hours upon hours of the typical horrors found on chicken factory farms. Tens of thousands of birds stuffed into dark warehouse-sized barns, many of them severely injured with gruesome lesions, injuries, and deformities. At more than one point, birds are deprived of food or water, and there was also a rat infestation and footage of bugs crawling in the chicken's feed. Now,
and that's just your studio.
Do you know what we call bugs? In a context of chickens?
Yeah, food.
Food, yes. It said bugs were crawling in the chicken feed. No, bugs are the chicken feed. That's not a problem.
Man,
this is not an issue.
These people.
But they did have a. But this article is 3,500 words, and they have a really good one, a really good term, a broiler technician advisor. I like that.
Broiler technician advisor. Wow.
Yeah, I want to be that.
Sounds like the guy who comes around with the warranty papers.
But here's a good one. It says the USDA says chicken producers using the label free range must provide birds continuous free access to the outside. And get this, here's the kicker. For over 51% of their 6-week lives.
What?
These things only live for 6 weeks?
6 weeks?
And they're big enough to eat?
You're grossing everybody out. And you just ate a turkey sandwich. What do you think that was like? How long do you think that thing lived?
Oh, it had a long life. It died of old age.
Natural causes? Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did it again.
What? What
did we do? We sent another song to the top of the Wavelake charts.
That's right. the hitmakers.
Oh, Dreb, you're interrupting the show.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
I should mention that the new pod friend that, well, I guess we'd call it 2.0, but it's just www.podfriend.com is live. And Dreb Scott immediately tested the envelope by boosting us 222,222 sats. Putting his kids further into the poorhouse.
He's not going to have kids anymore. His wife's going to leave him.
You're going to have to hawk the kids to boost more. I need to boost more. Take my child.
Thank you, Daddy, Dreb. Why can't we go to college? Because I love this show.
Because podcasting 2.0 is important, child. Oh, man.
It's the future.
Ah, goodness. Thank you very much, Dreb. And congratulations, Martin. He's running with scissors today. He got tired of saying, yeah, maybe next week, maybe next week. It's so hard sometimes. I've noticed this with certain developers. Not saying that Martin is one of them, but in my career and life, some developers have a real, it's scary or something for them to release. It's a hard thing to do. And it's always like, I can make it a little bit better, a little bit better. Just let me fix this one thing. And Martin ripped it off, man.
I've never had that problem.
No. And it shows.
Thanks, man. Like,
I'm just kidding.
There is no barrier to release with me.
No, there isn't. No, but your stuff, it always works. It just, your UI is just simple. You know, Martin's got, I mean, this thing, he's got some really nice stuff going on. Like, even without asking, and you don't go to a separate tab for the transcript. It just shows up in little cartoon bubbles. So if you have your person tag enabled, so like on our show, when I'm talking, my head shows up with a little cartoon bubble. And then when you talk, your head shows up.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's very cool. And it's without asking, which I like. You know, it's like, oh, do you want to follow along? No, it just pops up. It's just there.
It gives you the things that it thinks will make you happy.
It's a friendly little app. It's called PodFriend. That's why.
I'm drinking out of my www.podfriend.com mug right now.
Very
which
nice. Yes, I still have one.
This worked out great because on the front it says www.podfriend.com, which happens to be, it used to be web.podfriend.com was the player, and now NEEP 2.0 is www.podfriend.com.
And is he
so
going to do?
In a way, it just sunk right into the right spot.
Now, is he going to do apps or is he going to stick with the progressive web app?
I think he's doing apps because he re-architected it with one of those cross-platform things that would let him, you know, release apps as well.
Oh, like Swallow or what is it called? Fallow?
Flutter.
Flutter. Arc.
No. It's not Flutter.
I like Swallow better, honestly.
Swallow. That's not the framework.
That's not it.
No, it's a bad framework. No, I used it before. I fired it up this morning, and when I saw he released it and connected my Albi wallet, boom, connect right up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything no, that works. Ugh,
it's pulled in all my history, too.
I saw that.
From the old pod.
Yeah, I saw it, too. At my account, exactly. That's impressive, you know, when you launch something new and your old account still works. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. I like that.
Because that's not always easy because you got different. I mean, you got to really think about pulling that stuff in. I've had to do those before where you go from an old. You rewrite something and then you have to make allowances for that.
Anyway, so it's also has lit capability. I saw that. So the live shows are functioning and people are testing it around and doing all kinds of stuff. So that's very, very, very cool, Martin. Congrats on that. And so I'm proud of him. He just went, screw it. I'm running with scissors. And this is the place to do it. You know, we're the group to do it with. No one's going to be like, man, your app sucks. No, we're amazed any of this shit works. We're like, wow, it works.
Right. Who can believe scissors. It? Scissors. Yeah, we need the jingle.
Running with scissors. All right. So speaking of which, let's run with some scissors right now. If you're listening live, then you're in for a treat. But also, if you're listening after the fact, we're going to push another artist to the top of the Wave Lake Top 40. These are songs that I have picked at random, just poking around, listening on lnbeats.com, you know, looking at what's going on at Wave Lake. But these are songs that have a value block and that are accessible through the system. And I was thinking about how beautiful this interop. It used to be back in the 80s and 90s, people talk about interop. Do we have interop? We got interop. Well, this is cool. You got interop? We got interop. And for us, it's like this all interoperates. You know, you can use an Albi wallet. You can use your own Lightning node. You can use, you know, you put your song on Wave Lake. It's available in the index. I mean, all this stuff. It's so beautiful through its simplicity, I guess, that it just kind of works, and no one really has to talk to anyone else. Just you do it this way, and then anyone else can tie into it.
Well, that's what happens when you build on protocols. You don't have to make interfaces for things to interrupt. They just interrupt by their nature,
by existence.
Yes, interrupt through existence.
Ooh, I like that, interrupt through existence. So, I've chosen another song, but what Stephen B has now done. Remember, this is in between like putting light sockets into office buildings.
Yes.
I'm sure he has to tell us what he does. I'm sure he does. I'm sure we know. Doesn't he design electrical plans for buildings? Or
if I'm not mistaken, I think that he told us before that he does estimates, project estimation.
Oh, okay.
I think that he takes the designs and then like tells you how much it's going to hurt.
Well, he's doing all this for the love of Satoshis, which is just beautiful. Yeah. So he has created within Sovereign Feeds. Now, sovereignfeeds.com is what I've been using for all of my podcasts since we started this merry adventure, which is always fun because we had a little issue on just before the last No Agenda Live show where one of the Svelte libraries shit the bed or something.
The server he was on wasn't big enough to handle
me to handle what I'm doing to handle the Podfather. I hear you. Yes, of course. If you want the Podfather on your server, you better come with some girth. All right, there we are. It's Friday, everybody. We are punchy. So this is my feed creator. This is where we totally run with scissors. When we did the initial test. Where we literally switched the wallet from this podcast to the artists we're playing so that all the sats that you're sending in real time streaming or any boosts are then switched to the artist. When the song ends, they switch back to us. And
yes,
so
has been working because we've been driving people to the top.
Yes, we drove Joe Martin to he's number two after we sent Rusty Gate to the top. And now I picked it's a little shorter today. But it's a crazy song that even though it's in German, I think everybody will love singing along to it because you can sing along to this. And what's happening now is in real time, only if you're using CurioCaster because no one else has implemented this. And that's going to be kind of my next ask is not necessarily for the live stuff, but man, wouldn't it be nice if we could have one or two more apps that know how to switch over the value block, i.e. switch the wallet to the artist. Because I'm ready. I'm ready to do a show. I mean, I know I don't need another podcast in my life, but I really need to do my music show. I'm ready for it. so you know, I don't know. You know, I know Fountain is coming soon with their lit capability. People are already testing it. Podverse does lit, and you know, if we can start adding value time splits, is that what we call it?
Yes,
value time split. Which I know also involves the remote item being kind of semi-formalized in the namespace.
Yep.
But man, if we can do that, then Wow. Then we're all, I got DJs who have jobs who are like, I can't wait. And they're already bringing artists onto their, onboarding them into Wave Lake, and they're helping them set it up so that they're, available through the index. And there's some good stuff coming. Some really good stuff.
This will be ready. We can formalize this quick. Remote item tag is already going to be in phase six. That'll be next month. And then, the value time split, there's really no debate around that. That's just a thing that does what it does. So I think, I don't see any barrier.
Okay.
What I'm saying.
Well, the barrier is everyone's busy. Everyone's doing stuff. So I know it's just one of those things.
The lack of formalization is probably keeping people, that's never stopped Stephen B.
No. Well, he and Alex basically came, Alex wrote it up. And Stephen B, just said, screw it, I'm going to do it. Ooh, screw it, I'm going to do it. Hey, made another rhyme. All right, so we play this song. It comes from the, now I have some things
tell
to do
here.
Tell
me what it is.
Well, let me tell you first what I'm doing. So I have here on my launch dashboard, I've got the song. And when I started recording the show, I hit start syncing, which is S-Y-N-C-I-N-G, not syncing like we're going below water. Although, and so now the idea is when I start the song, then I hit the sync button, and that then switches out the value block for, now this is from Pleb Rap. This is from the album Pleb Rap playlist. Okay. Now, so I believe the name of the band is Too Bit to Fail, not Too Big to Fail, but Too Bit to Fail. And they're clearly German. And this is the anthem, Money Printer, Go Burr. Enjoy, everybody.
Money printer go brr, money printer go brr, money printer, money printer go brr. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh on in Bitcoin. Ja, jetzt wird wieder in die Hände gespuckt, es wird wieder Money ohne Ende gedruckt. Yeah, Sparen ist so vintage, jetzt wird geprintet instant, wir brauchen noch mehr Tinte, no limit. Miss Lagarde ist in Fahrt, printet hart, unser Geld ist wie der Darm, völlig im Arsch. Die EZB wie ein Jockey, die machen brr. Die sind wie Frieren beim Hockey und es geht auf zum Galopp, kauf dein Stock, pump it up. Wert von Fiat Money existiert ausschließlich in dem Kopf. Geldmengenbestände Verdoppler. Zentralbanken machen den Heli-Heli-Heli-Helikopter. Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh on in Bitcoin. Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh on in Bitcoin. Money Printer, hart wie Winter, wie stark Strom, Kabel, Draht am Fassen zittern. Money Printer Presse baut Druck auf, wie Heroin Junkies im Suchtrausch, Kapital, Druck, Sound. Nur ein, zwei Tastenkombinationen erschaffen Millionen Raub, die Kaufkraft wird der Masse gestohlen. Money Printer läuft in Endlosschleife, Branded Scheine, M2 steigern, Geld verschleißend. Ich kauf angstlos mehr Sets, weil belangloses Cash kriegt die Banknote 6, wird an Handnot ersetzt. Gib mir Money Print, mehr Money out of thin air, kann Tillionär gewinnt mehr. Jetzt wird nachgeladen, die Bazooka Schuss bereit, schalte den Drucker ein, ruckzuck, spuck ein Schein, Spielautomaten, hol alles aus der Maschine raus. Mach den fucking Fiat Sound. Money Printer go, Money Printer go,
Money Printer go,
Money Printer, Money Printer go,
Money Printer go.
Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh on in Bitcoin. Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh on in Bitcoin.
I think the point of the song is obvious.
This song is awesome.
I love this song.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. This song is killer.
It's like the kind of thing you play at Oktoberfest, when you're all hammered, Zika zaka zika zaka hoi hoi hoi. Money printer go. Brr, money printer go. Brr. I mean, I already know the hook. It's so beautiful. I love this song.
I heard something about a helicopter in there. Helicopter money.
And printing money out of thin air. Yeah, there's slips of English in there.
Yeah, brr. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. This.
Now you may want to keep using your CurioCaster because I did want to read an email. And by the way, so I was looking when I hit this thing on the value block. Everything happened by itself. So all of a sudden, the song shows up. The remote value block shows up. The podcaster value block shows up, you know, because we still get 5%. And when and because it knows the duration of the song, it knows exactly when to stop syncing. I think it knows when to stop syncing. So then it goes
finished.
It should just automatically switch back to us. I think. I don't know.
Because I was gonna I was about to boost it, and I don't know if it'll go to us or it.
No, if you boost it now, it'll be you're too late. Now okay. I think now, yeah, I'm pretty sure now it goes back to us. Okay. I need a third screen is what I need.
You do. You need three monitors.
I need a third monitor to be able to do all this. Because we got a really nice note from Matt Bigelow.
Okay, Stephen B. says it does not automatically switch back.
Oh, how do I stop it, Stephen B.?
He said refresh sovereign feeds.
Refresh sovereign feeds?
No. I don't know. This is confusing.
Doesn't activate podcaster's value block. Ah, okay. Oh, I see. So now I just hit activate podcaster's value block, and now we're back to the podcaster value block. Okay. All right. Good. So we gave him a little extra time there. Freebie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Steven says it didn't work. Aww.
It didn't
work. What?
Fail.
Oh, no. It didn't work. He wants me to refresh sovereign feeds. Okay, it's all right. Hold on a second. Of course, in the when we go to the podcast version of the show, you can obviously if you were listening to that and you were boosting on sovereign CurioCaster, it is going to that part we know works.
Because it'll just happen after the fact. Now the live thing evidently didn't work.
Correct. Okay, so I'm back. Okay. Oh, I see. Here's a little activate value block. Oh, okay. Oh, I see what's going on. Oh, it's all right. Well, then let's do this. Since that didn't work, we'll do a piece of a second one, and then we got to get to our guest here in the boardroom because we're just being super rude.
Matt, no, we're not playing. He's enjoying the tunes.
So I see what happened. I didn't have the activate. He said I could do it with the sync button, but I need the activate value block. All right. So we'll do it now for the second song. Matt Bigelow sent a note. He says, thanks to Dave on episode 132 for mentoring my song Fudge on Wavelake. You see, he probably got all jacked like, oh, yeah, I got to play my song. Nope. I'm a musician who has long hated Spotify and the rest because they make all the money and give artists likes and a dumb dashboard in return. Yeah. That sounds about right.
You get likes.
You get likes. I wrote to you a couple of times about computer vision and TikTok and have produced a jingle and some Japan-oriented clips in the past 6 years. So he really loves the idea of having this in the value block and having it switch over the value time block. So I figure we'll play a little bit of his song Fudge, which you turned me on to, and I have activated the value block, so it seems like that is now working. I hit the sync, I think, and if it works,
Steven said it's working. He said they said the art changed, the album art changed.
It did. Sweet. All right, here it is. This is Fudge.
Traveling with us, everything you need in a bus, space for your cars, and
boost this man, people! Boost the man live!
Shoot a missile! 33.3 miles. Hurry, cows! No bullshit.
There we go. All right. My goodness. All right. It seems like it worked that time. Let me see.
I had my CurioCaster with muted tab up in the back. The art switched.
Oh, really?
To the album art of the Fudge.
Badass. Do I switch this back? Yeah, now I switch it back to. Okay, now I'm understanding the launch dashboard too. Oh, man. Okay. I got it. We'll have to pause syncing. Oh, that's all messed up now. All right. Yeah. Wow. All right. This seems like we have a successful test. Very cool. For those of you not participating in this live test, please do that after the fact. Let's send one or both of these songs to the top with your boost. That'll really help. And, of course, we had Midas popping in with 101010.
Baller. Baller. Blaze on the Impala.
All right, that's the experimental part of the show. I think we should bring in our guests so we can talk about all things podcasting 2.0 outside of the music. Would you please welcome from Red Circle, CEO, founder, and overall head honcho, ladies and gentlemen, here in the boardroom, Mike Caden.
What's up? How y'all doing?
What's up, man? Were you participating in the test? No,
but I was listening, and it was quite enjoyable. If you can play more ridiculous Bitcoin songs like that, I'm
oh, we got to trust me, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
That's quite the genre.
I was too busy cleaning up a chicken disaster before, so I didn't have time to properly say, hey, so... What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Good. You were telling me, you sent me an email, or like, hey, I've got some DAI chops. Let's talk. And so, yep. Like, we're, you know, it's the question, well, Red Circle, just rather than me tell everybody about Red Circle, sure. Why don't you just lay it out first?
Yeah, I mean, we're a podcast hosting platform, but there's, as you know, there's 30 of those, right? So what we do in specific is that we're really focused on helping podcasters that want to make money on their podcast make money. And so we do that with ads, we do that with more typical payments, you know, credit card subscriptions, things like that. And then we have like a full featured hosting platform with some cool tools, cross promotions, dynamic insertion, all that good stuff. So, you know, it's a monetization focused podcast hosting company. And so we do have our own homegrown dynamic insertion and stitching technology. So, and I wrote, you know, I put myself in a dark hole back in 2018 and wrote all that. And so I'm a good dude to jam with if your guys are trying to figure out how we can make these things all play nice together.
Well, let me ask right off the bat, since now you must have been early with the dynamic insertions.
I think it existed. I mean, I came up with the idea myself thinking it was brilliant. And then by the time I built it, I realized there was five or six other companies that could already do it. Because I didn't know anything about podcasting at the time. I was just a listener. But yeah, you know, there's not a ton of companies that have their own technology for it because it's not... You know, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, and I think that's probably what because I know you support transcripts, I bet, right?
We do, but we don't, you know, I think we should talk about this today, but we don't like, you know, dynamically adjust them. So it's just only, it's like a static file for now.
Okay. So when you have an insert, then it gets out of sync.
That's right. And, you know, there's tons of podcasters that use Red Circle that don't do ads and don't do anything dynamic. So it'll work great for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have some work to do, and I think the protocol has some work to do if we're going to be able to support it fully.
How is go ahead.
No, please. No, please, Dave. I have been. I need to rest my pipes after that jam.
Okay. I think the first time I heard of Red Circle was when we had Oaken, the guy out of Nairobi, on, and he was talking about...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, he used... I don't know if he's still there, but he used Red Circle at the time, and he said that he had trouble getting... Like, he couldn't afford the hosting somewhere, wherever he was, and so he moved it to Red Circle, and he said the trade-off with the free hosting, with ads, you know, ad programmatic was a good choice for him. And so then we, you know, me and you had talked later, but I guess... It's great to have you, rolled your own because I feel like there's a disconnect there when hosting companies that are using a third party for a dynamic ad insertion discuss it. I mean, I know they understand the technology, but you can talk about what the issues are from more authoritatively, I guess.
Yeah, I got the feed, and I'm byte for byte constructing these MP3 files on the fly. So I can definitely tell you all about it.
Okay, so tell me, like, I guess first of all, Let me just throw something at you real quick.
Sure.
Is there a difference in your mind between some of these terminologies, programmatic versus DAI, mm-hmm. dynamic ad insertion? Like, I know streaming ad insertion, I know that's its own thing, but those two things, do you think those are equivalent terms?
No.
Okay.
So let me say this, you know, we have a free tier on Red Circle that's free and very permissive, doesn't have any like episode limits and stuff like that. And you don't have to use our ads or anything like that either. It's just you can only have one podcast. That's the main restriction on our account. Instead of having multiple podcasts, you can only have one. If you use the free tier, that's like the main restriction. So it's a good option for people who like maybe don't want to use Anchor or want some of the other tools that we have that they think are better as an alternative to Anchor. But anyway, going back to sort of what the difference is. So first of all, like, forget about ads altogether for a second. The Red Circle lets podcasters stitch together dynamic audio files of any type, right? So I'll give you a really good example. We have like a podcast on there that's a tabletop RPG sort of podcast. So they have all these characters and it's like scripted stories and stuff. And at the very end of every episode, they have like an outro where they, you know, suggest you follow them on Patreon or go to their website or whatever. And they actually have like 8 different versions of that outro recorded by the 8 different characters. And every time you download that podcast, because we have like random as an option in our dynamic insertion configuration, you get a different outro at random of the 8, right? So, And that's every single download that happens. We're sort of making that decision in the moment and giving you a stitched together podcast with that outro. And you can extend that and imagine like, yeah, various parts throughout the episode, whether it's ads, whether it's your own dynamic configuration, you know, we're stitching together a custom version of the episode every time a listener hits play. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. So that's dynamic. Audio insertion, maybe.
Yeah, I just call it dynamic insertion. That's just dynamic insertion, right? And podcasters, tons of podcasters use that. They don't do anything with ads, or they do that and they do their own ads, host Red, and they use our tools to put them in and out, and they don't have anything. We're not part of the value chain of that or anything. It's just their own dynamic audio configuration, right? Then if you want, you can intersperse like Red Circle's both programmatic advertising demand. And then we do our own like host Red advertising in an automated way as well. And so like you can say like run my ad that I'm running for my like mastermind group or my, you know, my book that I'm selling. And once that hits 10,000 impressions, then I don't want to bother my audience with it anymore. I'm going to fall back to like whatever programmatic ads are out there in the market. And Red Circle does all that like decisioning and stitching again, like on the fly.
Okay, so the programmatic advertising insertion stuff, that does that come from your own internal like a DSP type thing, or are you calling out to a third party to get the ads?
Both, yeah. Both. We have like the third party stuff, and then we do our own like host Red thing, which is very similar to like a DSP.
Okay, so you may be calling out to grab the ad audio, but you're stitching it in house.
Correct. Yeah, but not a lot of people are doing all those things.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah, when we had Pod Show in 2006, 2007, and I don't think anyone's done this because you know, all the technology is there. We did something called the Golden Ticket, and we gave away 5 golden tickets at random. And so what would happen was there would be a specific spot within the show, and 5 people out of the, you know, whatever, how many, 10,000 downloaded the show would hear, then all of a sudden, you've got a golden ticket.
That's cool.
Has anyone done anything like that? Because I've always wanted to see that come back. I thought that was a fun thing that we did then.
I don't think we could support that because unless it was the first 5 downloads, but yeah, I would say the coolest and most creative thing I've seen is a guy that basically has like a choose your own adventure story podcast.
Oh, okay.
We're like, it's not really choose because you don't actively choose it, but basically every download like mixes and matches different versions of the chapters of this pod and of this story.
Oh,
and
so you said every person pod, that hurts.
Sorry, my bad.
It's like a knife in the gut.
Oh, just like, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Knife me. It's okay. I'll get over it.
I come from like the traditional tech industry. And I remember like a year ago, you guys like totally ripped the Facebook product manager on this show. I'm like desperately trying to avoid using like learnings or some buzzword that you guys are going to kill me for. So I'm only a little bit in.
That's okay.
Hopefully, man, I'll make it out okay.
It's okay. Sorry about that. It's like Pavlovian. I can't stop myself.
So your Red Circle is in the podcast standards project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. I've got that right. You're a member. Okay, so we have now established your bona fides, where you are in-house baking dynamic ad insertion or dynamic audio insertion, and you are also a member of the Podcast Standards Project. Now tell us why it's all broken and it won't work.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, and Dave, you asked the question. That's so cool, man. I appreciate that.
This is like one of those, the way I want to frame this for you guys is like, have you ever had the experience you're listening to a podcast and you're like doing the dishes or mowing the lawn or whatever, and you find yourself kind of like yelling to nobody about what the people are saying on the, but no, that's not how it works.
That's what boosts are for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know. I got a fire fountain back up. So I've been having that experience for the last little bit. Let me just try to break it down. So you guys get it, right? Every single download we do is unique to that specific listener, right? That specific time that listener hit play, we are constructing that audio file dynamically for each specific download. I think we just covered that before. What we have now is we have a URL in the feed that's shared across all downloads for the transcript and for chapters, right? And because the feed is the same across all downloads, but the download itself is where we do all this dynamic stitching on each individual download. The fact that one's kind of at the feed level and the other's at the download level is the fundamental sort of disconnect that causes this problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll get a little bit technical, right? So when you hit play on an episode, right, you're going to hit that enclosure URL and download the file. But like most apps, do that in a couple chunks, right? So we do have to like they'll make range requests for the first 100 bytes, the next 1,000, and so on, right? So we do have to like hold on.
You're talking about streaming, not downloading.
Yeah. Most of the apps are going to do progressive downloading, right? They're gonna request it in a bunch of chunks. That's the way most of the apps do it. And so because of that, we already have to like persist and say like if you ask me for the same episode twice in like 5 minutes, I'm going to make sure that episode comes back with the very same stitching. Otherwise, if you ask me for the first half and the second half and I put in different ads and stuff, everything's going to get messed up and offset. There'll be funky spots in the middle where we are out of sync. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So that's, and that's across all download requests. That's not like, so you have a, if I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. This is good, by the way. So if I understand what you're saying, you have a, let's just say 5 minute sliding window across all the downloads for a specific URL.
No.
Or for a specific enclosure URL.
No, it's tied specifically to the user to the IP address and user agent that requested it. And it's 24 hours for us. So if you ask me for a file, I'm going to stitch something together for you. If you ask me for that same file 5 minutes later from the same IP and the same user agent, I'm going to give you back the same one, regardless of what byte range of the file you're asking for.
Okay, so if it's a so if it's an IP address that happens to be NAT for an office of 5,000 people, doesn't matter. You're still getting that same.
Yeah, those we won't treat those as unique downloads because that's kind of how the IAB decides it. And then also we'll serve the same content to all those people.
All right. Now I have a business question.
Sure.
Does this make any money for you?
So
this is kind of unclear to me. I think some hosts, they just leave it all up to an ad network and they outsource that and they might get a piece of it. So do you sell the ads? Do you have another network selling for you? How does that all fit together?
Yeah, we have our own in-house ad sales team, and the programmatic world, we're connected to a bunch of sources of demand that just sort of comes into us from those vendors' sales teams. And yeah, you know, we are a profitable business. We've been around for 5 years. We got, I'll save the numbers for another conversation, but you know, millions and millions of dollars we've paid out to podcasters over the years.
What? Millions and millions?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. And have you seen a decline as everyone claims that things, well, actually the podcast industrial complex press, as everything is doubled and tripled, will be $15 billion by the time my grandchildren are in college. But have you seen a decline year over year? It seems like in general, that's what I'm hearing from the advertising market.
Yeah, I think the programmatic demand in general is a little weak, and that's just kind of flowing with the overall, I think, investment in advertising from all the big co's that are out there putting money into programmatic. You know, we've been able to grow, but that's because we're such a small slice of a very large pie. I know you don't believe it's billions and billions, but it's definitely a lot bigger than what we're doing.
I'm happy for you. Believe me, I'm happy. I want everyone to make money. And speaking of that, for one moment, please.
Gotta ring the bell. Blaze on the Impala.
When we get a 444,444 Satoshi boost, we gotta interrupt.
Whoa,
that was Martin's.
Martin.
That's right. From his very own pod friend.
He says, he's stress testing.
He's stress tested. we'll read his as a long boost in a moment. We'll read the boostagram later. Just need to stop and say thank you. And yes, we got it, Martin. Well, this is very interesting because I thought that the programmatic was really just not working all that well. But you're seeing your experience as it is. Certainly at scale, can you give us an indication how many people are using DAI on how many feeds are inserting ads?
Yeah, we have about 1,100 podcasters that we monetize right now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So and when you say that you 1,100 that you monetize, that's 1,100. And then everybody else is on some sort of free plan. Is that?
We have free plans, and then we have like regular paid plans. It just depends on what.
Oh, you do have paid plans. Oh,
okay. Yeah, no, all they right. definitely. Have. I gotcha. Saw the paid plans. Yeah, what do you get extra for the paid plan?
Just some better analytics stuff. You can have multiple podcasts per account. The dynamic stitching, if you're not using ads, is behind our paywall. So if you want to stitch in your own ads, or you want to do stuff like that, then you have to pay. But it's a pretty permissive free tier. But you know, it's sort of the monetization part is disconnected from whether you're paying us. That's like related to other features. You can be on the free plan. In fact, our biggest podcaster making the most money is on the free plan.
And do you reserve the right to put ads into the free plans?
No, we don't. We're never going to put ads unless we're paying you. Uh-huh.
Right.
That's not the model.
Okay.
And you know, right now, and I don't see this changing. We're not going to like force anybody to monetize. Sure. That doesn't seem right.
There was Pod News had the Pod News database blew up, which was I'm so happy, and not because I'm happy for James because that sucks. Well, let me explain. I'm happy because when he fixed the database, I started getting emails again. Mm. And you know, and for some reason, we weren't sure if it was my, you know, whatever was happening, my email address was getting blocked somewhere, whether it was my server blocking him or something on his end blocking me, whatever. It cleared it out. So that's
reboot.
Why
it did a reboot.
It did something happened, and I started getting the pod news again. I'm very happy. So I appreciate that, James. And I, of course, appreciate what you went through. I've had those morning wake up calls.
No doubt.
And so the podcast business news had an interview. Which is now also part of the James Cridlin Empire, which is very incendiary. And I wanted to share this with you and get your response.
Sure.
This was from Patrick Hill, CEO and founder of Dystopia. And you can read the full interview in Podcast Business Journal today. He says, quote, "Right now, the podcast industry is growing from a copycat standpoint instead of from innovation. The industry doesn't grow from every single company doing the same thing." Your response?
Hot take, Mike. Go.
Well, I think what you said before, I want to preface with and say the same thing, which is that I want everybody. I'm very happy to see as many people as possible make money with either their business or their podcast in the space. So I'm going to preface with that. But I think there are like multiple business models that exist from podcast hosting companies. And, you know, there's Anchors, which doesn't have one. And then there's...
it's my favorite.
That's just real. But yep. You know, they're definitely losing money. But the and then there's like companies like ours that are focused on monetizing and making money that way. And then there's a lot more companies that are primarily focused on, you know, software as a service revenue by charging podcasters $10 or $20 a month, right? Mm-hmm. And those businesses are all competing for a relatively static pie, right? There's not bajillions of new podcasters showing up anymore. There was some of that in the beginning of the pandemic, but not so much anymore. And so, yeah, they all have to kind of chase each other's bells and whistles and compete on price. And it's a tough game, but it's hard to do all that and then also be innovative, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I saw on Red Circle, you know, like everyone else, I think, does, it's never been easier to take your business away from the other guy and join us.
Sure.
It seems like that goes on a lot. I just, you know, I hear the tally on Pod News, like, you know, Bo, there's 4,000, and I know that the 4,000 new podcasters this week had to come from somewhere, so they probably came from another host. Is there a lot of this switching, and is that mainly on price, or is it sometimes features? What is the main reason people switch from host to host?
I'm probably not you should ask the Buzzsprout guys that, because I feel like they'll probably have a better picture of it. We tend to focus on, you know, because we focus on like making money through ads and through payments, you know, we tend to focus on like larger podcasters, which is a smaller set than the overall podcaster user base. So we either want to work with
kind
of, there are hobbyists that have 100 listeners and convinced 20 of them to pay $10 a month. And that's still a great customer for us. And we'd love to have them. So I don't know if hobbyist is the right term, but it's either like they have to have a committed audience or they have like a very committed audience that wants to throw money at the creator, which like yours, or they're large enough to be interested in advertising. And so our user base is just a little different. And yeah, we do mostly grow by plucking folks from other hosting companies, but I suspect a lot of the hosting companies are happy to see them go because they're the larger podcasts with the larger bandwidth bills. And they're still paying the same $19.99 as the guy with five downloads.
This has always bugged me about the host model is when you get a successful podcast, it's actually bad for your business. I mean, it's so weird. And so now I'm going to make my pitch to you because we'd love to see you do a lot more with value for value. And just as an example, this show gives 10% to Sovereign Feeds for all intents and purposes, our hosting company, because Sovereign Feeds, you know, creates the feed in essence. Now we have our own actual storage. So, you know, that doesn't hurt Stephen B, but you know, on this episode alone, yeah, we have dedicated listeners, but it's not very big, but we have a community. And you would have made more from this show, from this one episode, than you would from us as a paying $20 a month customer.
For sure. Right. Yeah. I mean, I am super interested in it. When you guys were originally kind of forming it, I went a little bit nuts and I spun up my own server and I had my own Lightning node going. I think we had a channel between us a while
death.
Back.
No, that's death. That's bad.
I stopped paying attention to it.
And it died.
Like a certificate expired. And I think I lost a couple $100 somewhere on that machine.
It's like a chia pet. If you don't pay attention to it, you're going to come back and it's going to be yellow. Yeah.
Exactly what happened. I think it was just a couple $100, but maybe I could still recover it. Anyway, I think it's really interesting, and I mean that authentically. I've put my own time into understanding the technology at a pretty deep level, and I think it's awesome. And I think like many things, I have a relatively small group of engineers. We have to be really choosy about the things we pick, and you know, I can't be the first mover just given the size of my business and how much we have to focus on the things that currently make us money. But I can totally see us, you know, doing more than just like making it possible to paste in a Lightning address, but, you know, also helping podcasters sort of, you know, the original idea I had was to just let me set up a node with my own custom keys and just, you know, collect it for podcasters and pay them out the way I pay them out for ads. Right. And if I did that, I could turn it on for 1,000 podcasts, you know, with one button. Something like that, I think, could be in our future. It's just a question of like how much can Red Circle make for the amount of engineering investment? And like I said, we're quite different from the others. We don't necessarily have to compete as much on who has the most bells and whistles as some of the other guys. But I, at some point in the future, we will do it. It's just a question of when. And I think that's just about sort of, we want to be in early enough so that we get to be a part of growing it, but also not too early where, you know, we have to invest, you know, months of engineering time and don't expect to see much dollars on the other side.
I got an email from Erica Cornblah, C-O-R-N-B-L-U-H, Cornblah, which of course was, and by the way, I'm one of those guys who loves having his email address in the feed because I get all these interesting emails.
I'm with you.
And so I want to read this and then we'll laugh about it and then I'll ask you about this. Hi there. couldn't even plug in my first name. My name is Erica. I work on a team at YouTube that helps podcasts launch and grow on our platform. I would love to partner with you and your team on building out your YouTube presence. We've recently launched some really incredible new podcast features on the platform. Can we chat next week to further discuss? That's not good English. Let me know some days and times that would work best. Hope to speak soon. Cheers, Erica. She's from YouTube.
I dispute the terminology incredible new features. Yeah. I don't think they'd be
Well, so first of all, they're obviously trying to, I don't even know what they're trying to do because they don't create RSS feeds. Just your general take being in the industry on YouTube, entering the space as they have.
I think that since they're not RSS feeds, it's not that interesting. I think they could figure out how to make it more interesting in the future. Well, I mean, I mainly see this as like they see Spotify messing around with video and they are just trying to be as directly competitive as possible. And I think that's like, that's the main motivation. No,
it's also, I thought it pathetic. I mean, this, if they don't, my answer to her was until you actually ingest RSS feeds, there's no reason for me to call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snarky.
I mean, even if they do ingest RSS feeds, but then they don't have what we call like pass through where like the, or Spotify calls pass through where like the download request actually gets back to your hosting provider.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, if that doesn't happen, then it's, it's not really podcasting in my view.
Thank you.
Let's go back to dynamic ad insertion. Cause we're a bunch of squirrels and we just run off all over the place. So so dynamic ad insertion, what is the main, you began to describe the disconnect there where you were going to say why it's so challenging to keep the transcript and the chapters in sync with the dynamic, with the stitched together audio.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think going back to what you said before, right, each individual download where the listener hits play is unique to that specific listener at that time, right, for that episode, right? And that is unique to them, but the transcript URL and the chapter URL is at the feed level, right? Now, like I said before, we do like store or cache a configuration that says like, we serve this IP address and user agent, this audio file at this time, so that if they come back 5 minutes later and download the second half of it, everything remains in sync, right? So we do have some concept, it's temporary in time, of like, you know, if you asked me like, what did I stitch together in this episode from this IP address 5 minutes ago, I can answer that question, right? So theoretically, right, then I, if you ask me for a transcript, I can use that same configuration and stitch the transcript together, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing for the chapters, right? So I think the only thing that's missing with our current setup is just kind of like a specification that details how those URLs for the transcript and the chapters should be requested. They have to be from the client. They have to be close within time to when the download was requested. And they have to be, you know, from the same IP address, same user agent, everything else the same. So we can identify that and say, all right, that's the same thing that just downloaded this podcast 5 minutes ago. Now I can give you the transcript. If they download the transcript on the server side, that's not going to work. It's going to come from the server's IP. If they download the transcript, like when the RSS feed updates, but then the listener downloads the podcast 2 days later, those are going to be out of sync, right? So like one option is to just kind of specify what the client's behavior should be with respect to downloading those things, right? That's one option. I don't like it as much, but that's an easier option.
Okay. Nathan Gathrad has, he boosted in a question. So I'll let you finish your train of thought though.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, one option, right? And then the other option, which I think some folks have proposed on Mastodon, Twitter and stuff is to put the URL to that unique version of the episode's transcript and that unique version of the episode's version of the chapters in headers that come back with the download, right? So you say, give me that MP3. We give you back the MP3 content, but in the headers is a link. Here's where you can get the transcript for this. Here's where you can get the chapter file for this. That would tie it specific to that specific download and make it a lot easier to keep everything in sync. So that's the gist. It's like a disconnect between per download stitching, but per feed URLs for the other things.
Okay. All right. I got it now. So let's talk about a spec then. Let's hammer this out for a second. So there, Nathan's thing, and I've got another idea here. So Nathan said, love the discussion around DA and transcripts. If apps were supporting ULIDs, then hosts could provide the same audio and transcripts to match. So yeah, that is that it, that goes back to sort of like your client level specification.
Yeah, that's okay. If I think that solution is good. The idea behind the ULED is like I'm uniquely identifying like this this app for this download, right? And that way I can this track it over
user.
Time as well.
Yeah. Each user. So every just to rehash it, every user every download generates a unique ULID.
Right.
And if the app ever downloads that same enclosure again, it will mm-hmm. use the same ULID. Otherwise, yeah, it always generates a new one.
That would work. That would work. Yeah. It's one solution. I think the header one is better, but I think that can totally work. That basically, we need some way to know that the person who downloaded this thing is coming back, right? For either to download the episode again or to download the files that have this metadata.
So a ULID solution, would that cause you to have to save state?
Yeah, we save the state anyway. I think we would just have to save the ULID and build an index off it too. I think that would be okay. We'd have to make sure that I think that would be okay.
Because the other option here is if there was some sort of, if there was a way to describe the breakpoints and the start times and the durations within some sort of like string or something, mm-hmm. Then when the enclosure is delivered, you deliver a header that says, here's where the breakpoints were. You're delivering with the enclosure also an extra header that says, here's a list of all the breakpoints and how long they lasted. And that way, then whenever you download any transcript, it's going to, if the client saves the breakpoints in there, when it goes back later, it can just get the transcript. And then it can look up and say, okay, when I downloaded this thing, it had a breakpoint starting at second this X, Y, and Z, and they lasted this long.
My only thing with that is that I don't always know how long the breaks are going to be in advance.
But you stitched the MP3 together, so you would know, right?
I know at the time when I give it to you, but I guess what I'm saying is across downloads, I don't know, right? So where are you suggesting I put that break information?
So that would be like when the client, let's just say that it's Castomatic, when Castomatic requests the download, to download the enclosure, you stitch the MP3 together and then return a header with the breakpoints in it.
I mean, that can also work, but I think if we're going to do the headers, we might as well just give you a URL where you can go fetch the transcript specifically for it. I will say as the ad guy that like a lot of ad people will not be pumped to tell the client where the breaks are going to be. Mixed feelings about that from ad people. It might help you skip them, which there are pros and cons to, obviously a lot of pros for the listener. That's what you're saying would work as well. I think it's easier to just let us stitch the transcript and the chapters for you based on what we know about that download, right?
Okay. So that would be a ULID type solution then, or what you said, like the header. In true 2.0 fashion, I mean, the way this probably would work is you start doing the thing that makes the most sense, and then we'll just all look at it and say, and you know, hash it out. If you think you have a good solution, start delivering that solution if it's not too much trouble, and then we'll all start playing with it.
It is trouble, but I think, but I think I'm interested in it, and I think that the like header based solution is one that like as I heard from a few other folks that do dynamic insertion recently, they seem to think that was like a best. I would love to mess around with it. Right now, we let you upload a transcript, but we don't like parse it and mess around with it. So we have some serious work to do, but I'm definitely interested in doing it because I think transcripts are a big, important new thing for podcasts to have, right? And a good example of where you guys are doing the innovation while other guys are not, right?
Can I ask a question about the advertising, and really only because I see that Dave brought clips today.
You're teeing me up.
Yeah, I am teeing you up because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what is a brand safe, although I've heard this all my life, what is brand appropriate? And then we have the new NewsGuard. Have you dealt with these folks?
I have not.
Okay. Dave, that's your cue.
Well, I'm trying to look at my sheet here. Well, so I did a little bit of research. I didn't get too deep into it because I figured out really quickly that it was boring. And so I kind of moved on.
Well, let's just play your ISO.
Just shitposting.
Oh, there you go.
But this, I thought this was an interesting interview. This is an interview with this co-CEO of NewsGuard in the Ad Exchanger podcast, which was evidently just recently, but it was a pretty good interview. And I mean, you know, all told, you learned a lot. But I thought this was sort of an interest. His concept here, I don't have a problem with the overall concept. I really don't, as described. It doesn't bother me that they have veered off into the intelligence stuff, which does bother me. That's not great. Their whole idea of giving like a nutrition level, I was like, whatever. I mean, ultimately this thing is I think this is a company that's not going to be around very, you know, forever, because everything's going, they even talk about it in this interview, this TikTok's going to eat everybody's lunch anyway on that side of things. And so but he did talk about, and I wanted to get your take on this. He talks about never wanting to advertise on disinfo sites. That's clip one, Adam.
Okay. We've been on several conversations with CEOs, you know, where we say, you know, we're sure you didn't know this, but your ads are appearing on Russian disinformation sites. The CEO literally turns to the CMO and says, "Don't you look at all the websites where our ads appear?" And the CMO, of course, responds, "Well, you know, in the old days, of course, we did, but there's this thing called programmatic advertising, and, you know, we don't really, but our verification company told us that they protect us from the really bad stuff. But the only way to be protected from the really bad stuff is to know what the really bad stuff is. And the verification companies use AI primarily around keywords. We can talk about this later, perhaps. We're rating at the domain level. Do you ever want to have an ad on RT or Sputnik, the Russian disinformation sites? Do you ever want to have an ad on InfoWars, even if it's about the weather? Of course you don't. You don't want to be in the position of supporting those sites through advertising. We did a report with ComScore where we found there's $2.6 billion a year unintentionally being spent through programmatic advertising on misinformation websites.
Oh, I got to get me a slice of that.
So the funniest part of that thing to me was unintentionally. Yes, sure. Right. Sure. Okay. But then, he brings it home, and then I want to make a point he's talking about Warren Buffett in clip two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got 15 things going on.
We reported 1 year, for example, that the largest advertiser on Sputnik News, one of the Russian disinformation sites, was Warren Buffett, because Geico that year happened to be its biggest advertiser. And of course, Warren Buffett doesn't wake up any morning thinking to himself, "What can I do to support Russian disinformation?"
Oh goodness!
This is all such bullcrap, because of course when you're an advertiser, what do you want more than anything is to advertise in a place where you can sell where your products will increase in sales. And even people who read RT, they also have cars and need car insurance. So the idea you would never want to advertise your stuff on RT or Sputnik.
He's not
baloney.
He's being disingenuous. The reason why he doesn't want that is because of the pressure groups who are out there and will go and look at RT and say, ah, ha, 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 your ad's on there. You're horrible. You're supporting Russian disinformation. That's what they want to avoid.
Sure.
That's the problem.
Sure. But that's so the real issue there is not that you don't want to. You want to, but you just don't want anybody to find out about it. And that's where,
yeah, there you go. That's right.
Because there's a lot of people that read that what would be classified as disinformation sites that need car insurance. Mm-hmm. And you would love to sell to those people because their money spends just like everybody else's does. That's where TikTok is killer in that regard, because everybody's news feed is so personalized that those advertisers, you wouldn't even know that they were advertising on in certain sections, in certain demographics. It's almost like a completely like curated, privatized feed. And the ads don't even, like, you don't even,
what are you,
even
are you a know. Chinese spy, Dave Jones? Yes. What are you, pro-China? What's wrong with you, man? What do you, have balloons in your garage?
Well, listen to the clip. Clip three, this is what I thought was a nice little nugget here.
I realized that if you called somebody and said that you were representing a news organization, they would very often, almost always, answer whatever question you had.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, if you call them up and say, hey, I'm Dave, I'm from Homeland Security, they're probably not going to answer your questions. But if you're a journalist, they will answer your questions. Huh. That's a nice little nugget.
Yep. Journalists love to talk about each other, right?
And themselves. Yeah. And themselves.
but here's sort of where the rubber meets the road. Play clip four about programmatic.
He came to me one day and he said, Gordon, how would you like to get all of Jaguar?
By the way, this guy sounds like Alec Baldwin. It's crazy. I mean, he is
hard to clip.
Yeah.
He came to me one day and he said, Gordon, how would you like to get all of Jaguar's digital advertising this year in the U.S.? And I said, that'd be great. How much of Jaguar's advertising have we gotten the past year? And he said, about 20%. And I said, I'd love to get 100%. And I let a little pause go. And I said, Mike, what's the downside of what sounds great? And he said, well, there's this new technology. It's going to drop some cookies on Wall Street Journal readers, and we'll get all the Jaguar advertising this year, but these cookies might allow them to find Wall Street Journal readers somewhere else next year. And, you know, Wall Street Journal readers account for a large percentage of Jaguar purchases in the... So I said, oh, in other words, they might stop advertising in the journal next year and advertise someplace else, like a, you know, back then it was sites like Auto Vitel and, you know, the versions of Carvana from that time period. And Mike said, yeah, that could happen. And I said, well, that sounds terrible. And Mike pointed out that if we didn't do it, you know, somebody else would do it. And I said, yes, that's right. So we enjoyed 100% of Jaguar's advertising in the U.S., digital advertising in the U.S., at a CPM that the Wall Street Journal felt like we deserved. And beginning the next year, we did not have 100%. And what we did have, the CPMs were not the same. And programmatic has been a great solution for advertisers. It's driven pricing down. It's made advertising so efficient. But like so many things, it's not been good for publishers. And the news industry is suffering from many revenue ills. That's certainly one of them.
Hmm. So this is my question that I've brought up recently is, with everybody piling into dynamic ad insertion and specifically programmatic advertising,
yep,
that has to drive CPMs down across the board, right?
Well, programmatic, yes, I agree. Those are usually lower CPMs.
But I'm being very specific here. I know they are generally lower already, but what I'm saying is for every 100 podcasts that enable programmatic advertising.
Yep.
That you now have a larger available ad space.
Yep.
So that would, by, you know, just supply and demand is going to drive rates down because you have a larger set to sell against.
Agreed. Yep.
So ultimately this feels like the programmatic advertising just seems like a race to the bottom now.
I mean, one way to think about it is race to the bottom. And another way to think about it is like the value is the market is going to determine the value, right? It's like the, if this is what publishers are willing to take for this, then that's what an advertiser should, I don't know. I used to work at Uber. We did, you know, I understand surge pricing and things like that. And like, that's the way things should work.
Yeah. So I have a question about that.
Sure.
When you were at Uber, and you can be dodgy if you want, but I'm pretty sure that Uber knew who I was and priced me more expensive than someone else for the same ride from the same location. True or false?
As far as I know, false when I worked there, but it's been, you know, 6 years since
all
I
right,
worked there.
All right. Rat bastards.
Dave, your point is a good one. Like programmatic, doesn't really take advantage of all the good things that podcasts have, right? You have this like listener base that comes and listens to your audience every week. You have this really close relationship, and then you play some like Sunday, you know, advertisement. And you know, that as more and more podcasts turn that on, if they do, then yeah, like that value is like, is pretty weak. I agree. What Red Circle does is, you know, we have credit cards that you can collect payments from your fans from. We have programmatic advertising, and then we also have HostRed, right? Some podcasters turn on any mix of those different things. You know, we're not like, oh, programmatic is the future, just like we're not like payments are the future. We're just trying to give podcasters all the tools they want to use.
Yeah. So here's a good example. There's Ad Exchanger. So that interview took place on the Ad Exchanger podcast. As Ad Exchanger, clearly a market industry, ad industry, product.
It's a journalistic, effort, yeah, right?
Yeah. So you would think that this ad focused, industry product would be sort of a pinnacle of, creative when it comes to the ad, ad creative, content. The Ad Exchanger horrible drop-in ad would say that is not correct, though.
Speaking of podcasts, and of course you're on our podcast, I feel like...
Okay, stop. She's killing me already. Who is this woman?
I feel like so many advancements have happened within podcast advertising in the past year. What are some of the major highlights for you?
As we all know, content is what makes podcasts so engaging. And two podcast ad tech advancements leverage the power of podcast content. One is Predictive Audiences, which uses podcast content signals to better identify audiences in a way that is scaled and future-proofed when it comes to the ever-changing landscape of identity and privacy. Another content-driven advancement is Brand Safety Targeting, which is based on analyzing podcast transcripts to enable brands to run against the type of content that matches their brand safety guidelines.
Man, I've been hearing this forever. Does anyone actually do that with transcripts?
Well, yeah. There's some vendors that are out there doing that these days. Mm.
I'd like to give a content signal that the lady was talking about. Which everybody knows that's our content signal.
Is that an ad though? What was that?
That was an ad. That was a dynamic ad. That
for
was,
what?
Yes. It, for AdsWiz. This
they just
this
dropped that right in?
Yeah, it was a sort of a fake interview segment infomercial thing.
Oh, brother.
And it was like, you know, oh yes, this is great. And number two, I'm like, well, there was no number one. This is pre-written ad creative, and this is horrible.
We got to talk about something else now. I'm going to shoot myself.
Yes, my point for playing that was that this is from the ad industry itself.
Mm. Oh yeah,
they're not selling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, this yeah. is horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the DAI thing, I think we can solve it, but really it does have to be though. It does have to be that people have to stop being so afraid of people skipping the ads.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. The reason I brought that up before is I think other people will be. What I to just kind of like bring it back for a moment. You know, first of all, dynamic insertion doesn't have to be ads. And we have lots of examples where that's the case. And so I think we should figure out the technical solutions to make this work regardless. And then more importantly, like, we're not like deep, deep believers in the future of programmatic. It's a part of our business. But, you know, our business is also super focused on HostRed, is super focused on payments. And I think, you know, it should be up to the publisher to decide, like, what do they want to do? Do they want to turn these things on or off? And let them decide, like, what their audience should be comfortable with and how much or how little they want to charge and how much money they stand to make for it. And that's kind of the tool set that we try to provide.
And I'm going to beg you again to go value for value, because I think it would be so accretive to your business. And, you know, you clearly have a good head on your shoulders. You know business. It's still time to get in. It's still time to get in on the ground floor, particularly with these music things. This is going to burst wide open. The first podcast host to offer podcasters the ability to search a library of songs. And this is the model that TikTok used, by the way, to search a library of songs that they can then use in the context of their podcast, just play the songs, I think will be a big winner.
Do you allow music on the platform?
We not just like straight up music, because it's too hard for us to handle the copyright aspects.
Yeah,
of it.
I think that's why Wavelake and Dystopia and these guys are great. That's what they know how to do that. Even, you know, if SoundCloud gets their crap together, they don't have, they're very close. They have RSS feeds. That's their business. But to like Sovereign Feeds, I have the catalog right there. I search for it right there. And, you know, I can plug it in. That, I think that's the kind of stuff that that would be differentiating for a podcast host. And podcasters who want to add music, I think they'll flock to it.
I think that's just me. I think what you're doing with it is very smart, you know, and it's a good example of, like, if you remember, there was all this drama, a couple blog posts from Spotify about how, like, RSS is bringing us down and we can't build these protocols that are capable of moving the space forward. And like, one of the things that's only available on Anchor is being able to put a Spotify music file in the middle of your podcast. And they've got all the licensing and stuff worked out. Right. But like, maybe with what you're describing, you know, again, all of these things that they claim are only doable in a closed ecosystem are possible in, I was going to say open podcasting, but I'll say in
podcasting. Thank you. Very good. Well, speaking of that, you were at the Infamous Dinner in Dallas, and the Podcast Standards Project has launched. I believe Red Circle is a part of it.
Yep.
You know, it's been like the silence is deafening. What have you heard on the inside? Is anything going on? I mean, I know it's hard, but have you heard of anything, any updates?
I don't have anything for you. I think I'm like the not the leader. And I think right now everybody's busy. We should like step up and make sure the ball keeps moving forward. That's really all I could say.
Okay.
I think like right now it's just everybody did a bunch of stuff to get that initial pump going. And, you know, we shipped, Podping and fun, you know, a bunch of new tags.
Thank you.
We appreciate kind of taking that. A break.
Thank you for that. Podping is super important. Super important.
Yeah. After all the aggregator headaches I had this week, it just reinforced the idea of why Podping is so much better than having to just hammer feeds all day long. It sucks.
Yeah. I want to thank James Cridlin for giving us an updated feed image. He correctly identified that was wrong.
No, did you drop it in?
Yeah, of course.
Sweet.
Of course.
All right, cool.
Also, Comicstrip Blogger created a ChatGPT plugin for the podcast index. I haven't used it yet. Have you messed around with it, Dave? Some people have been looking at it.
I don't have a ChatGPT. I refuse to have a ChatGPT account, so I can't play with it. But this requires the pro version. Do you have ChatGPT, Mike?
I don't like pay account? For it, but I just play around with it.
Yeah, okay. I don't pay for it.
I don't know anybody that pays for it.
So well, I guess I'm going to have to do that. But I've seen some other people. There's like all kinds of. The reason why is there's so much data that we have. It's so beautiful. You could train an AI model on our database alone and just follow the links. I mean, the transcripts, everything. I think it would be a wealth of information. And I say this because I know that we don't have to rely on Google Barf and all these other all these other products, because people are doing this at home now. I mean, I got Jay Donnelly, who I've known for, gosh, he's been to podcasting since the beginning. He has what is it? I think it's 507.ai. Oh, I'm saying this wrong, probably. He's got his own thing running, and I was able to just ask no agenda specific questions, and it was answering them.
Cool.
Based upon, you know, we have everything in OPML, so basically XML data. I mean, there's something here. I'm not quite sure what, but there's something cool going on with all this.
Yeah, I mean, transcripts has a lot of value, I think, just for kind of like providing folks with the text as they're listening and the accessibility aspects and stuff. But like once it gets broad adoption and we have this huge corpus of just what podcasting altogether represents, like there's just a lot of value there that people will be able to tap into to search for the things you want, to recommend other podcasts, all this good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'll say this in sort of speaking about transcripts and their time sensitivity within the playback. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've watched broadcast television in any way, I mean, the closed captioning is often way out of sync. I mean, like way out of sync.
Oh, really disturbingly so.
Yeah, like minutes behind.
Yeah,
you know, and so like we're already better than that. Right. So I don't think, you know, even if you have a non-time adjusted transcript, you're probably still fairly close to what you could. I mean, like you're probably still way better than broadcast television, honestly.
Well, you know, perfect is the enemy of good, or whatever the saying is. That's why we shipped it, knowing, you know, that it wasn't going to sink.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a couple of requests for the website.
Okay.
And the person search in the API is so killer that it needs to be more exposed. And I agree. I think if somebody this is why I have to come begging with, you know, holding my hat to people, because I don't understand how to code React. So I basically can't even code our own website. I have to depend on other people to do it for me. So some way to modify the search box on the site, maybe with a checkbox or some sort of like prefix where you could say like person colon or something like that. If you, to where you can, instead of just searching for a podcast in the background, it would hit the person search API instead of just the search by term API. I'm telling you, I've started using this person search all the time. It is so killer because you can find stuff. It's not just person, like, basically, it just excludes almost every English word from as a stop word list. So what you end up with is a search that searches for things that are not like English words. So you have, it includes all, and I removed all the common English names out of that set too. So basically you have a thing that searches for persons or unusual words. So when I just got in there and I just searched for NewsGuard using the person search, and boom, it came up with like every interview by that guy that had ever been on a podcast. It's so good that I think it should be more exposed on the site. And then the other one is this goes back to the aggregator trouble I had this week. And I know you're going to like laugh at this, Mike, is the idea of these people that put their WordPress sites behind Cloudflare. And so then as I'm trying to aggregate, as the index is trying to grab the feed, it's giving me a JavaScript challenge page.
Oh,
like, yeah. So there's a new status code, HTTP status code 986. So if the API returns 986, there really needs to be some wording or something on the page to where it says, hey, you need to turn your Cloudflare off, or you need to put an exception in because we can't reach your feed because we're being blocked. Because people oftentimes will go to the podcast index website, search for their thing and say, hey, my podcast is messed up. Why don't you have my latest episodes? And it would be nice if it just went ahead and told them why, because, hey, it's not us, it's you. Like, basically.
I've never heard that before. That's crazy. So like, but that must be doing that to like clients and stuff too? Is it something specific about you and you're scanning a lot of things or?
No. I've seen Marco complain about it too. He tweeted about it a while. Like if you hit it sufficiently enough times, it just, it challenges you and it won't let you go any further.
Wow.
And you become like blocklisted or something.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion about that is going to be controversial around these parts, which is that, like, I think most people shouldn't be hosting their own RSS feeds. But I'm happy to debate that if you want. It's just because, like, for things like that, right? We get a lot of folks who are hosting their own WordPress RSS feeds that are in dire trouble for a lot of reasons. Right? Either they can't handle the load or they don't understand. They have four different feeds on their site. And they don't understand it. And you can get yourself in a situation where if you screw up and lose all your audience, you know.
I don't disagree at all. I mean, if you with what you're saying is quote most people. No, I agree with that. I guarantee you most people shouldn't be hosting a lot of their own stuff.
My favorite is just the animosity and the rudeness that people come to app developers and Podcast Index demanding why this is not working and your platform is no good and what is wrong? The play button doesn't work. Holy moly, people.
Being the founder of a small tech company, I've done my fair share of frontline support for many years, and it's I always have a lot of respect for support reps now that I'm on the other end of it.
Indeed. And I even had to shoot an email back. Someone copied me on a very angry email to Podverse, and I'm like, hey, calm down. Simmer down, Donna Summer. Let me tell you what's going on here. It was really rude. People can be so rude. Shall we thank a few people, Dave, since we're about a buck 26 here?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, well,
thanks. Because we got so many boosts coming in. It's been a good day, I'll tell you. Let me just run through what we have here so far. We have Scott with 75,000 sats. Native ads work! First live native boost, ads. Go podcasting, he says. Podcasting! I don't know what that's all about. And now listen to this. We've got Mike Newman with 333 sats. Live test boost from Fountain Beta on Android.
Oh, I have the Fountain. I pulled up Fountain a while ago, and it did not notify me. But if you pull up our show in the Fountain app, it has a little live button at the top of it, and I can tap it and listen live.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm very excited about that. 17,776 from Boobery. Dave, how would I generate a GUID for a live item? I've been putting in the episode number every week, and something tells me that's not the correct way to go.
A GUID for the live item? You just put it in. Yeah. If you're talking about the GUID tag, put a GUID tag.
I think
in
he means like the GUID for the episode. I mean, you can put anything there as long as it's unique.
Go to Google and search for the UUID generator, and you're all set.
Yeah, I mean,
bam. Yeah.
On this show, I just use the episode number. That's mm-hmm. valid, right?
Or the enclosure. You can use the enclosure URL.
Maybe a confusion with the podcast GUID, which is different.
Yeah.
There's Nathan Gathright. We discussed his question about the ULIDs, 2222, short row of ducks. Stephen B., public service announcement. CurioCaster has switched to Albi Wallet. Any sats left in your legacy wallet after June 15th will be donated to the Podcasting 2.0 Summer Pizza Party. Whoa.
Sweet.
Woo. Log into CurioCaster to transfer your legacy sats to your Albi wallet. All right. There's the 444,444 from Martin. Here's his note. He says, I promised to match Dreb's baller boost. Let's double it instead. So much to fix and improve, but feels awesome for PodFriend 2.0 to be out in the open. Already got so much great feedback and noticed so many bugs. Desktop client and apps are coming as soon as humanly possible. Oh, okay. Nice. Desktop client, even. Wow.
Congratulations, Martin. Yeah. Launching a new app is always a huge deal.
It sure is.
Congrats, brother.
Yeah, we've been just waiting and watching and seeing you, come back into the community. We really love seeing you back. I love sushi, 10,000 sats. A girl like me, test boost. Okay. That's from the previous episode. All right. Slipped in here. Very good. Sir Brian of London, 31,948 Israel boost. The problem with the live show time is a clash with Shabbat dinner in Israel.
Yeah.
That is a problem. We are very, very Jewish unsensitive here on this show.
Yes. What is Shabbat?
Shabbat is Friday night. It's like the no Sabbath. Technology, the Sabbath. Yeah.
No,
like,
Sabbath.
Yeah, you got, you know, nothing. Well, but I'm reliably informed from the Durham report that this podcast is kosher.
It's in Appendix E.
It is. It's in the Durham report. Eric yes. PP, short row of ducks, fudge, he says. Got it. Harv hat. This is all boost from the song. And meet us, 101010.
Go podcasting!
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze. Paula
Blues.
Paula.
He indeed informed us that live art is changing. He says, that's hot.
It's very hot.
Chimp with 5,026 boosting with scissors. Another one, 1,206 boosting with scissors. Another short row of ducks from Harv Hat. NA Millennial with 7777. Brrr. Then we got a whole bunch of, there's another Dreb Scott. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Baller.
And Dreb.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
I'm pretty sure he was sending that during, during the money print to go burr. I might play that after at the very end of the show after we say goodbye. Just play it again just to see the album art change again. I want to see that work.
That's are you kidding? Cool. That's my ringtone now. I love that thing.
It's a drinking song. Eric PP, 22,222. Now that's what we call a row of ducks. Thank you very much. 8008 from Anonymous. Lit, in the words of Weird Al, it's all about the Pentiums, baby. Running with scissors. Thank you very much. Then we had, there's the big, super big row of ducks from Dreb Scott that we thanked him for earlier. Where are we? Loving the tunes on my cycle home from Fountain HQ. That was from Nick, 2100 sats. Whole bunch of test boosts from people. P. Shin. No, that's, sorry, wrong one. I hit the delimiter, so I will let you take over from here, Dave.
Yeah, we've got three weekly PayPals. We got a from C Mike, $123.45.
Wow, thank you, C Mike.
Yeah. He says, please keep the music going, or better yet, revive the daily source code with the per song split tracks and bring back Fubar Friday. Even if it's only a bonus segment of the PC 2.0 boardroom soundtrack to my life, with much love, Sir Mike in Kansas City.
Did James Cridlin, did someone revive the Daily Source Code? Is that now a feed back in the index? Did I understand that? Really?
No. He revived that old thing with
Dave Weiner. If someone would revive, let me just see Daily Source Code. Let me see if it's still in the. No, there's Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, and it's in there.
Is it? Is it legit? Does it work?
Let me see if I wonder if it has files attached to it. Let's see. No, it doesn't seem like the files are. Oh, no, the files are all missing.
Christopher Isine, there's no telling what that guy. I mean, he resurrects things from the dead all the time.
Because the last episode was February 16, 2009. No, that doesn't sound right. Maybe it was. I don't know. All right. But anyway, yeah, I'm ready. I just need one or two more apps that that can switch the blocks, and I'm good to go. That's there it is. Well, that's my promise.
Get that formalized. Yep. Tyler Weitzman, $75. No note.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate
it. Yeah. We got Jesse Hunter, $10. No note. Thank you, Jesse. That's our PayPals.
Have so successfully transitioned from fiat to Bitcoin. I'm so proud of us.
our Davis 87, 700 sats. He says boosting the hot webhook talk.
Yay.
Yeah. Chaos 99, 1200 sats. Keep up the work. The ad pressures is turning more towards your vision. The ad pressures.
Ad pressures. Hmm.
I don't know. I don't feel ad pressure.
I don't feel any pressure at all, actually.
I don't really. I'm loose. I feel good. Dreb Scott. Wait, when is this? Oh, this was last week at 5 o'clock in Central Time. Dreb Scott, 222222.
Oh man, Dreb, thank you so much.
A gigantic duck.
He's the
boosting for the. Go ahead.
He was the Bruce Wayne of podcasting 2.0.
Boosting for the boost. Enjoy the music. Is this him again? This is him again. Another 222,222.
Hit him again, man.
Shaqala, 20 inch blaze Trev. On the Impala.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that so much. Does he have a t-shirt? Have we sent him a t-shirt? Has he even asked for a t-shirt?
I don't know if he's even asked for one.
Send us your details. We want to send you a podcasting 2.0 t-shirt.
Yep. Gene Bean 2222. Through Fountain, he says, seeing Satoshis come in is an amazing feeling. It is.
It is a great feeling.
Awesome. Auburn Citadel, two boosts of 49,000 sats. No note. Thank you, Auburn Citadel. Gene Bean, 86.49. Again, through Fountain, he says, I'm loving hearing more emphasis on doing one thing and one thing well when it comes to tags. Keep embracing the Unix philosophy. That's what we're here to do.
Yes.
Gene Bean, 40.96. That's a 4 kilobit boost. Through CurioCaster, he said, I enjoyed Rusty Gates, a girl like me, enough to set up CurioCaster so they'd get some extra sats. Oh, boosting cool. An artist from the Podcasting 2.0 show is just cool. Yeah. Yes, it is. Let's see. We got 1024. That's a 1 kilobyte boost from Gene Bean. He says, maybe you all could add a song at the end of each episode after the normal outro, almost like a post roll. Oh, you just...
That's exactly what we're going to do.
Lucky day.
Yep. Yeah. And make sure you boost them live. You want to see that thing go to the top of the charts.
It would be easy to skip for anyone not interested, but also likely get sats from many of us. Mike Newman, 33333, says, catchy tune. Thank you for your courage. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you again. He's doubled that. He's sent two of those. So 66666. Mere Mortals Podcast, 22222 through Fountain. He said, this was one of my favorite episodes yet. Informational, funny, inspiring, revolutionary, innovative. I'm just out of adjectives. I love you guys.
Love you too, man.
3,000 sats from SCOTT. Native ad, free phones and more.
No, are you still using the light phone?
Yeah, that's my daily driver.
I'm amazed. There's a lot of little pieces of functionality in there. That's not in the brochure. I'm quite amazed.
How much does it cost? I think it's so interesting.
It's $299, which is not cheap. That's what most people. That's too expensive. But I mean, this thing, it's really quite. Chicks dig it. Let me tell you that.
I'll put $299 down to have my attention back. That doesn't sound so bad.
Exactly.
Not only do you get your attention back, but I'm telling you, you put this on the table in a restaurant, and chicks go, "Hey, what's that? Let me see that thing. That's really cute. What is that? This is my phone, baby."
This. So you. The key is you're buying a lifestyle, not a phone, Mike.
There's the marketing. Oh, that is a native ad. You're buying a lifestyle. Okay,
douchey.
No. That's it. $299. That's right. But you know what I'm buying? A lifestyle.
How much would you pay to have your attention back?
Yes. It's good. I'm completely weaned off. I rarely use the Graphene OS.
I've got most of my problems licked now. So I've got the two-factor authentication thing. I've solved that by having...
YubiKey?
No. I have a phone. I have an old phone that I found in a drawer at work with my two factors on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting next to the computer. And I've got my phone here at the house. The iPhone's still sitting there on my bedside table. I usually never touch it. I only touch it once a day. For the morning constitutional with toilet scroller.
Toilet scroller. Yeah.
What do you do when you're taking a deuce?
Yes, exactly. I just stare at the wall, Mike. I've got that for the backup, but other than that, I'm light phone 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, me too.
It's nice because if I have to walk the dog or something, I'll grab the light phone if I'm going to be listening to a podcast that's not value for value enabled.
Same thing. That's exactly what I do. If it's not value for value, I grab the light phone and I'll listen to it on that. Yep.
Exactly.
And I'm happy I'll be able to use PodFriend now again on the desktop. I've been using CurioCaster. I do use the toilet scroller here at home if I'm listening on my headphones to something that's value for value. I gotta keep boosting. But I don't answer anything. There's nothing to answer. There's really nothing to answer.
And I like the fact that so my kids text me, they'll text me like a link to a to a like TikTok video or something like this, you know, and I can't actually even open it. So I'm just like,
Oh no. But then it goes to your email and you can look at it later. And so it's funny because just a minute ago, today's our anniversary. So I have a dinner planned at the restaurant.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And so Richard from Vaudeville, he texted me, you know, he's got all the plans ready. And so I muted my mic and because, you know, it does voice to text. And so I'm responding to him. And I stopped talking, and the thing keeps typing. It was literally hearing through my headphones, and it was typing out all the stuff you guys were saying.
Mike, the talk to text on the Lite phone uses Rev, and I don't know what sort of black magic is in this thing, but it is extraordinarily good.
It's really good.
Yeah, the hardest part is to stop saying like,
exclamation mark, question mark, comma. You don't have to. Yeah. It just does it.
Yeah, and I'll say new paragraph, and then it'll type out new paragraph. Like I have to stop giving it grammar, but other than that, like it is killer.
Yeah, it's pretty.
There's no monthly cost to the phone because that must be pretty expensive for them. All that transcription.
I don't know what they're using. I know. Rev, you said, Dave. What is Rev?
That was my understanding. Rev is like a talk to text transcription service.
No, well, there's no cost for that.
I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know. Cole McCormick, 25,000 sats through Fountain. He says, here's my regular shilling for Fountain.fm because Fountain is fire.
Yay.
Also, fire. In the last month, I have seen an increase of value for my show, America Plus. Feeling very blessed. Shout out to Sir Dreb Scott for giving me my first baller boost. Gamify everything. Go podcasting.
Yeah.
Go podcasting. 25,000 sats from Fountain through Fountain for Mary Kate Ultra. Very excited for the future of V for V.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. We're obviously pumped.
Joel W gave us a satchel of Richards. Thank you, Joel. Let's see, 3333 from Chad F. No note, Chad. Thank you. Another 3333 from Chad F. A monkey gave us 333. Says boot. no boot today. I'm good. Boots. Scott Sikora, 10,000 sats. He said, great song. Got a bunch of no note boosts. These look like boosts through Fountain from Alwyn, from Castomatic. Thank you, Alwyn. B Mozzie, 5,000 sats through Fountain. It says, streaming and boosting for music.
Yay.
Yep. It's a hit. Thank you. Yeah, Alwyn's doing a bunch of testing. Jason from Podcast Guru, 31337 through the Podcast Guru app.
Yeah.
Podcast Guru Beta Boost.
Woohoo! Look at that. Beta Boost.
So Jason said that initially I don't know if we talked about this, but Podcast Guru is right now only boosting the value blocks that are in the feed in the XML itself. Not from the ship, but he said that's coming. So
cool, man. We're cool, good. Cool.
Marks, 31111 through Fountain. He says, y'all discussed Podster for like 82 seconds. I'm good with that, as he says. Appreciate the honest feedback on the idea. Definitely don't want to be a corpse on the replace RSS trail, but definitely do want to go get Nostra and Podcasting 2.0 making sweet dulce love.
I'll tell you, it makes so much sense to just create a Nostra podcast client that does boosts. Just forget the zap part. That's what everyone's hung up on. That's all.
Yeah. And also, Marks, I mean, it's not, I think you can integrate Nostra and podcasting in a lot of ways that are not the replace RSS part. Like if you just integrate with RSS as it is, you can still do, like, I think you can still do most of what you're wanting to do. It's just that the RSS is going to be just honestly impossible to replace. It's just not going to happen.
It's a honey badger, man. It's just a honey badger. It's like you can't get rid of it. It's not going to happen.
Spotify has put billions into trying, and
yes,
so far,
thank you.
Yes,
excellent point. Excellent point, Mike.
Perfect point. But like, there's so much cool stuff that you could do that I would love to see you do it. Like I would love to see you do this stuff. JPEG sent us a satchel of Richards. Thank you, JPEG. 1776, just listening, says, so excited for Fountain Going Lit. The musical development is amazing. Thank you for all your work, and thank you to all of the developers. Go podcasting.
Yeah, go developers.
Go podcasting!
Borlaug sent us 20,000 sats. I can't thank you too enough for all that you're doing. Strong work, gentlemen. Well, thank you, Borlaug.
Thank you.
Chad F, 5,000 sats from Pod Friend. Sending a test boost from Pod Friend to Electric Boogaloo. That's a movie that anybody younger than 40 want to understand.
Right.
And we got the Delimiter Copy Street blogger, 33015 through Fountain. He says, darling Dave and admirable Adam, what champions are you who take upon yourselves cues of universal divine inspiration to provide the earth and all its things a clear and defined pathway to undiluted conversation, an art so ancient that without it, all of our shared futures would be in dire peril. Look forward to the episode of our podcast, AI.cooking, wherein we report upon the union of artificial intelligence and podcasting, for it is never further away than the current moment. Yo, CSB and Gwoof.
Yo, thank you, CSB and Gwoof. Any monthlies to thank people for?
We do. We got David Norman, $25.
Hey, David. Thank you, David, for putting HTTPS into the... into Hypercatcher, and I believe that
he got a cert.
He got a cert. I believe that now all works, and now our podcasting 2.0 transcript is showing up in the appropriate places that required a cert.
Nice.
Yeah.
Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, $21. Damon Kasajak, $15. Jeremy Gertz, $5. And Trevor at Xenor, $5. And that's our group.
And thank you all very much. This is Value for Value. You're supporting the podcast, but you're really supporting the entire project, the index, all of the machines, and of course, liquidity on the node. Anyone who needs a channel, that includes you, Mike, if we need to reopen. We're probably going to have to reopen a channel if you're still interested in reviving your Chia pet. Otherwise, I'm glad you opened up a Get Albi wallet, so we'll be able to put you in the split for today's show.
Yeah, thank you.
If you go to podcastindex.org at the bottom, you see two red donate buttons, one for your fiat fund coupons, and we also have a tally coin. And of course, 49 minutes ago, Dreb Scott sent us 37,188 Satoshis through the tally coin with a tally-ho message.
Tally-ho!
Dreb just makes sure the machinery's running. He's like, oh, I need some oil over here. Cluck, 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 cluck. Need some oil over here. Cluck, cluck. What haven't we tested yet? Cluck, 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 cluck. Everything.
He's like Pingdom is what he is. He's Pingdom.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, again, we're going to play the our anthem, our Money Printer Go Brr, after the closing credits, after the end tune. And I will be switching the artwork and the value block if you want to test that with us one more time so we can see if we can get that song to the top of the Wave Lake Top 40 before we even release the podcast. I was looking at Rusty Gate. They have, since last week, 328,000 Satoshis.
Ooh, nice. Good for those guys.
Yeah. Joe Martin, let's see, High Gravity. Well, he's on the chart twice, 185,000, but he's, for some reason, it's in there twice. What's this second one? No, so I'm not quite sure how that works.
There is some kind of thing going on with Wave Lake, and Wave Lake guys, if you're hearing this, you check your feeds because there's two different feed URLs being used. And it's outputting different ones. One is like player.wavelake.com and the other one is just wavelake.com.
And that'll screw up their stats.
Somebody needs Michael or Sam, y'all need to like check that and see what's going on because some of it must be wrong.
All right.
Yes. Hey Mike, do you have anything coming down the pipe as far as 2.0 tags or support for anything?
Not immediately. Some of the stuff that we were planning to do next is some of the other kind of low hanging fruit stuff like person and,
that's good.
Which we don't have, you know, there's just a couple form fields, things like that. And then, yeah, like I said, you know, I can see us working on value for value at some point in the future and just kind of waiting for my moment to pull the trigger.
Excellent. I just saw that Rusty Shackelford just posted a link. There apparently is a daily source code podcast GitHub. we're reassembling the show on GitHub. Oh, nice. Good. Well, maybe I have all the jingles, so maybe. Oh, well, I should reactivate. I'm looking for a name anyway. Reactivate that. Mike, man, I want to thank you very much for hanging out with us. Thank you for giving us...
This was fun.
Yeah, giving us all the insights and the DAI stuff. And I think we solved some stuff, actually, that we can turn into something we can codify, right, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think what I would like to do is just try to document what we discussed with maybe try a first crack with a ULID or the header, and then just write it, you know, write up a spec and then let you have a, you know, have a look at it and see what you think.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cause we do need a spec. Okay. Yeah. Cause I agree. We do need a spec. So if you want to work with me on that, that'd be awesome. And I'll pull Nathan in too.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much, chat room, for being with us, for boosting us. Remember to stick around live on CurioCaster to boost the Money Printer Go Burr song. Dave, back to the chicks, man.
No, back to the mop is what's going to happen. This is horrible.
I'm going to see if I can take my drug dog out for a walk. We have it's not a good animal day today. All right, everybody, thank you very much for being here for the board meeting. We'll be back next week with another one on Friday. Until then, we'll see you here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Just shitposting.
Money printer go, brr. Money printer go, brr. Money printer, money printer go, brr. Während die Money printer Maschine läuft, kaufe ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh all in Bitcoin. Ja, 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 jetzt wird wieder in die Hände gespuckt. Es wird wieder Money, Money, ohne Ende gedruckt. Yeah, Sparen ist so vintage, jetzt wird geprintet. Instant, wir brauchen noch mehr Tinte, no limit. Miss Lagarde ist in Fahrt, printet hart. Unser Geld ist wie der Darm, völlig im Arsch. Die EZB wie ein Jockey, die machen brr. Die sind wie Frieren beim Hockey und es geht auf zum Galopp, kauf dein Stock, pump it up. Wert von Fiat Money existiert ausschließlich in einem Kopf. Geldmengenbestände Verdoppler. Zentralbanken machen den Heli-Heli-Heli-Helikopter. Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh all in Bitcoin. Mach Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh all in Bitcoin. Money Printer, hart wie Winter, wie stark Strom, Kabeldraht am Fassen zittern. Money Printer Presse baut Druck auf, wie Heroin Junkies im Suchtrausch, Kapital Druck Sound. Nur ein, zwei Tastenkombinationen erschaffen Millionen Raub, die Kaufkraft wird der Masse gestohlen. Money Printer läuft in Endlosschleife, branded Scheine, M2 steigern, Geld verschleißend. Ich kauf angstlos mehr Sets, weil belangloses Cash kriegt die Banknote 6, wird an Handnot ersetzt. Gib mir Money Print, mehr Money out of thin air, kann Pillionär gewinnt mehr. Jetzt wird nachgeladen, die Bazooka Schuss bereit. Schalte den Drucker ein, ruckzuck, spuck ein Schein. Spielautomaten, hol alles aus der Maschine raus. Mach den fucking Fiat Sound. Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh all in Bitcoin. Mach Money Printer go, Money Printer go, Money Printer, Money Printer, Money Printer go. Während die Money Printer Maschine läuft, kauf ich im Hintergrund Satoshis und geh all in Bitcoin.
Boost.